typical for St. Mark's evangelical style, this Sunday's gospel is short, succinct, but speaks volumes. For we hear contrasting movements of danger and death combined with covenant and love. There are two parts or movements in our gospel reading today. The temptation of Jesus while alone in the desert for 40 days, and Jesus' proclamations of God's good news publicly to the people of Israel. We ourselves are tempted or tested. We are often challenged with the question, who am I and what am I to do? And what are we asked by God in a calling nature? The same was true for Jesus. Tonight we hear Mark's version of the temptation of Jesus in the desert, which was a foretaste of his later temptations and agonies, which Jesus endured, not just in the desert, but throughout the rest of his life. The movements of God's Spirit against the spirits of evil, confronting them, that will eventually lead him to Good Friday and death on the cross. And so on this first Sunday of Lent, as we begin our journey, we are invited to notice the contrasting movements of the Spirit with Christ against the spirit of evil. In the story of Noah, in the words of Paul, as he was led to Jesus, it speaks to the stories and movements of our own lives and those of our nation, especially during this painful week. Indeed, during the beginning of the sacred season of Lent, we're invited to notice the contrast between the encounters of evil and responses to the Spirit, whether personally or newsworthy, between agony and ecstasy, anguish and joy, despair and hope. And so allow me tonight to offer some instances of evil in our world and the call to prayer that they may evoke. Like the angels who fed Jesus, the presence of God, feeding and consoling our own spirits in the desert of Lent. The crucified Jesus of Parkland. There were 17 of them who died, and 15 others wounded on Ash Wednesday, no less. And there are names behind the numbers about whom I would invite you to reflect this evening. Perhaps some of you saw the photo on the front page of Thursday's Washington Post of the woman. An iconic photo. Maybe she was a mother in anguish weeping, and on her forehead she bore the traces of the ashen cross of that Wednesday, witnessing that she had been to church earlier that day to affirm her belief that she and all of us expressed in the words, "Remember thou art dust, and unto dust that will return." But who could believe that it would happen so soon and so shockingly to her daughter? Or was it her son or her husband? Perhaps she was the mother of Martin Aguiano. Martin was 14 years old and a freshman at the school. Or Carla Loughran, who was 14 and another freshman. And maybe the woman with the ashen cross was the wife of Scott Beagle, a geography teacher, and the school's cross-country coach. Or maybe she was a friend of Elisa Adhoff, another freshman. Yes, my brothers and sisters, evil was encountered by this woman and countless others in Parkland and throughout our nation this past Ash Wednesday. When we began our Lenten journey, so many of us received ashes on our forehead in the belief that while death is a part of life, Christ's resurrection and love ultimately conquers death and evil. And so, Jesus of Nazareth. We hear how Jesus in the gospel was led and was tempted in the desert. And as the gospel of Matthew and Luke developed more than Mark or John, Jesus was tempted with bread and power and riches, and he resisted evil. And the angels did nourish Jesus, but he soon encountered evil again and again and again when he left the desert. Notice the line in the gospel following. John was arrested. We know John would be beheaded. So Jesus again would encounter evil through John the Baptist and throughout the imprisonment and death of his cousin. The crucified Christ of Parkland. Besides the photo of the woman on Ash Wednesday bearing her ashen cross, there were other photos and videos of other mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, relatives anguishing this past Ash Wednesday. Some of them were the relatives of Helena Ramsey, who was 17, Alice Schachter, who was 14, Carmen Shentrup, who was 16, and Pina Wang, who was 15. And so there are the images of their family and friends praying on Facebook and on videos. And now we see them even pleading, and yes, protesting. The Jesus of Nazareth. Unlike Mark, Luke's account of the temptation in the desert moves Jesus from the desert to his hometown of Nazareth, where a sharper and more intensely intimate way Jesus is tempted. Do you recall the passage from Luke that Jesus in his hometown reads the scroll and proclaims the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy? His friends and teachers who had welcomed him back home and praised him suddenly, filled with an evil spirit, rebuked him and almost threw him off a cliff. Yes, evil was present in Nazareth that day, filling the minds and motivation of Jesus' childhood friends and teachers. The crucified Christ of Parkland. And then there were some in the photos and film of the students who survived, the classmates of the victim, who gathered around and prayed with candles lit and tears flowing as they remembered their classmates, such as Gina Montato, 14, Joaquin Oliver, who was 17, Eliana Petty, who was 14, Meadow Pollock, who was 18. And you wonder, how will these students return to their high school, to the scene of all their trauma? What do you say to a student who is now experiencing such fears and grief? To return to the scene, it's simply an act of going to a school, or what we thought. What are the counselors saying? How are the students and their families praying this night? The Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, Jesus was tempted in the desert and in his hometown. It was as if the evil spirit said to Jesus in the desert, okay, if you do not play by my rules, you will get yourself in trouble. Just wait and see. Temptations happened to Jesus. And so how evil presented itself to Jesus when he was betrayed in the garden and abandoned by his friends. It was there and then that Jesus was severely tempted. In one dramatic and final existential movement, Jesus said, in response to the evil's questions, do you really want to be crucified? You can't escape, you know. If you want to, you do not have to do this. And Jesus' response, let not my will, but thy will be done. The crucified Christ of Parkland. There were five others on that tragic Ash Wednesday. Luke Hoyer, a freshman, 15 years old. Nicholas Duarte Nicholas was 17, a senior at the school with Olympic swimming ambitions. Aaron Feiss, 37, had been an assistant football coach at the school since 2002. Jamie Gutenberg, who was 14. Chris Hickson, 49, who was fatally injured after he raced to the scene of the shooting to try to help students. Yes, so are the names behind the number 17. And there were students, teachers, and coaches who died this past Ash Wednesday, and another 15 who were wounded, some of them facing debilitating injuries. Then, my brothers and sisters, there are the countless parents, siblings, family members, friends, and all those in that community and our communities of faith linking us this night, this Lent, to the tragedy, who are grieving and, yes, angry. Their trauma is real, as is the realities of evil with which Jesus was tempted, as well as ourselves, the Christ of our nation. Throughout the rest of his life, Jesus would face the grace and glory of our human nature, as well as encounters with evil, operating the death and destruction of humanity. We encounter evil. Lent, this Lent, is a time of prayer and fasting, so as to remember to connect our lives with the suffering from Parkland, from the encounters and effects of evil. This coming Friday, Pope Francis has proclaimed a day of fasting and prayer for other victims, those victims in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and those in Sudan. In this week's bulletin, I tell a story of one woman religious, Sister Orla Tracy, who is combating the evil of Sudan by serving as a principal in a war-torn area, a principal giving girls hope for light and freedom. And we, each of us, in our own way, can bring to prayer and perhaps action, memories and meanings that were stirred by the pictures and videos we saw the past few days, remembering the victims of Parkland and other victims as we begin our Lenten journey, connecting the sufferings of humanity to the sufferings of Jesus Christ, who was tempted by evil in the desert and throughout his life. But he gives us hope and healing in the time of temptation and desolation. And so, my brothers and sisters, with families and friends of victims who are experiencing real the effects of evil, we pray with them and pray with Jesus. Temptations, trials, tragedies, the journey of Lent is a real time and opportunity to remember names and not just numbers. And we pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.